We continue the Shir in Sichah Yisharan, Seif Kuf Chof Tes. Rabbein Azal's sayings, paragraph 129. As has been mentioned many times, Rabbein Azal said many times that every man comes to this world and must go through a series of difficulties, hardships, in order to get to the tachlis, the goal, Olam Haba. As the Gemara says, that Gan Eden is one of the three items which a person can gain only through Yisurim, through suffering. One of those sufferings is the battle, the test that a person must go through with the main taiva, the main desire of Yisur, taivas noshim, desire for women. This, of course, we must stress, does not refer to person is a taiva for his own wife. That is legal. There should be that ahava between husband and wife. We are speaking, when we say about taivas noshim, taivas mishagel, taivas niyuf. Niyuf means a disgusting, illegal side of it. This means a sin either in thought, speech, or action. This is the one item could classify a person as a tzaddik, one who is pure in that respect. And yet, this is something which the Gemara says most people are trapped in the Rikshaw, Achmona Lislan. This is the worst item out. That is the one thing that Hashem despises. The item with which Bilam Harasha captured the Jews, caused the great plague to break out among them, and that which has been the trouble spot for Jews from time immemorial until the end of time. So Bilal says this is the main test of a person, the main nisoya, the test in his lifetime. And each person must go through this battle. And some people, of course, by nature, this must be stressed. And Nassanzal says, do not misjudge. You find that there are some people who are tzaddikim, not literally tzaddikim, but they are good people, religious people, sincere, yet they have difficulty. At times they fall victim to this taiva, while others find it much more simple. They have less difficulty with this. That's because each one has a different nature. Just as there is one who is very hot-blooded and temper, another person is very quiet, very simple, very cool, very kind by nature, that's how, too, there is a person who's created, he's born with a hot blood as far as this taiva is concerned. Well, the second one is more normal. So we cannot compare the difficulties, the tests that one must go through if he is that kind who is more warm-blooded. Yet both are responsible. Both are required to pass this test alike. The Mayor says a person should know that if he finds that an overpowering urge to commit this sin, it is due to one basic item. The guilt for it is atzeres, which means sadness, depressed state of mind. The person goes into a depressed state of mind, this atzeres, which is the main venom of a serpent. This nochosh, the first serpent, injected this venom that caused death to the whole world, and then later became developed into the Yitzhahara, the Satan. Nochosh became the Satan. The same venom remained. What is that venom? That venom was Atzvus. For to be more specific, Atzvus ve Atzlus. This is brought in the Likutei Maran. The Ikar, the Shichas, Anochosh is Atzvus ve Atzlus, which means depressed state of mind, sad, moping type of person, or one who is filled with laziness, an overpowering laziness that dulls his senses and dulls his actions. These two things, atzvus and atzlus, the bite of the nochash, the serpent, they are the primary cause for the strong feeling of taivor in the wrong direction. This leads a person, chazishol dechil abris. And therefore, Benazel says the solution, the Eitzah is, if you want to win this battle, if you want to be victorious against the Yetzer Hara, then you must first fill yourself with simcha. Person must be besimcha and be able to overpower his Yetzer Hara and the Satan. And even if Chas V'Shalom a person does fall, he falls victim, if even Chas V'Shalom he commits a sin, whether in thought or in action, the Eitzah then is to scream, to cry out to Hashem. Crying out to Hashem, he'll tear himself away from this evil, and he'll be saved. Now again, the Bible stresses too, that thinking about this taiva is also very detrimental, very harmful. Person thinking about it leads to hidhudim, to evil thought, to evil desire. Thought, the heart plans, the eyes see, the rest of the organs of the body carry out in action the sin. So a person should not think about it. Not think about it when it's not necessary. But there comes a time when a person is attacked by the Yetzer Hara with evil thought. That's bad enough. The person has that yesudim, that suffering, where he's going to combat, go into physical and mental combat with the Yetzer Hara. That's enough that he has to go through that kind of war and that kind of suffering. Why bring upon himself even more? In other words, why think about it in general when you're not being attacked? Even, the Benedict also adds, even if a person did commit a sin, then he should not think about it afterwards. Just thinking about it is only adding more of the sin to it. Enough of the sin in its time. Why add to it with further thought, which itself is also. In fact, the Gemara says that thinking about it is even worse than the action itself. So if, even after he committed a sin, Chas V'Shalom, not to think about it later, that itself is profit. Well, gain the profit of not having this further thought. Of course, he must do tshuva. He must strengthen himself. But not to repeat in thought, not again, not to mope about it in sadness and atzmus, because that's even worse than the action. Nosazor explains that one who commits this sin, it's because of heat, because of passion. For that there is a Gehenna of fire. One who has committed a sin and then becomes depressed, sadness, cold towards doing tshuva, then suddenly he cools down. There is the Gehenna of ice, which is even still worse. A person should not allow himself to go into atzmus, even if a wrong was done. Therefore, again, beautiful it is when we say, who stressed the idea of simcha, a cure-all, any physical ailment, may havdil, even the doctors admit, that a person who's in a happy frame of mind, that's the best key to a cure for any kind of sickness, any kind of illness. Even the most serious disease is helped along by a happy frame of mind. So this simcha, Rabbi Nezal advises, be besimcha, this will help you. Imagine how wrong it is for a person not to be besimcha, to be atzis when we have a treasure like Rabbi Nezal telling us about this etza, this advice. How wrong it is for a person ever to be atzus, no matter what happened, for any reason at all, even if Chas V'Shalom the worst sin was committed, it does not warrant going into atzus sadness over it, because you're adding a worse crime. How can a person be happy if he committed a sin? The answer is, be happy that you know, at least, that by being happy you're performing a mitzvah, you're saving yourself from the worst Gehenna of ice, plus the fact, happy over the fact that we have hope. There is no such thing as losing hope, Chas V'Shalom. Stress that again and again. Not if a person committed a sin, but if a person committed the worst sin that exists, and then he repeated it and compounded it with other sins, and did this constantly, there is no such thing as giving up hope. There's no such thing as going into a depressed state of mind or sadness, because that, again, is still worse. No matter what happened, the person should say, I have a simcha. I know that through simcha I will be cured. Just as it is a cure physically, it is also a cure spiritually. With simcha, a person can be cured and can reach the highest levels. And we have the testimony of the Arizal, the generation like Yerizal lived in, there are too numerous tzaddikim to mention. Great tzaddikim of that time. Some of the greatest names, the most illustrious names in history, who lived at that time, ones who dedicated themselves, body and soul, to Avedas Hashem, to serve Hashem. Ones who never dreamt of doing the slightest wrong, no slightest sin ever. They spent their days and nights in the study of Torah. And the Rizal was asked, how come that with such great tzaddikim who did nothing wrong or are so perfect, what makes you superior to them? Why is it that they are so tiny compared to you? What made you reach this level that is so far above these other tzaddikim? What more could they have done? What did you do more than they did? Rizal answered, we both worked on the study of Torah. All of us worked on davening. We all did the same amount of mitzvahs, perhaps one more, one less. But my point, my winning point was that I did it with the highest degree of simcha. I had more simcha than they did, and that's what elevated me above them. Do we need better testimony than those words of the Arizal? Simcha shel mitzvah is what brought the Arizal to a level that was so high, so far above them. He was the tzaddik emes at that time, and for all generations subsequently, the word Arizal is one of the most respected names by all Jews of all sects. It is a name that alone, generally an amazing fact, very amazing, in that it sort of goes against the grain and the rule that we have been taught throughout all eras. We're told always that if there is ever a debate in Hebrew law, the majority rules. The rule of the majority is absolute. Always, Yochad v'Rabbah lo hakadam. In the case of the Arizal, we don't even look at majorities. Majorities, minorities. We know one thing, the minig Arizal, Arizal himself, conducted himself in this manner. This was his rule that he followed. This was his custom. This is the din according to him. And that's enough for us. The Arizal said so, that's final. Even many other types snagged them also, except that you find the Shulchan Aruch is filled with the Minhagei HaArizal. That word alone brings out respect from all the great Peskin of later generations. That's the greatness that Arizal said, who said himself, his greatness consisted of the fact that he was Besimcha throughout. The Minhagei says, the weapon that a person can employ in his battle against this evil angel, against the evil in his heart, is simcha. With this, you can actually slay this dragon. This is the arrow that can penetrate the heart of the Yitzhara of the Satan at the worst moment. We should be zecher to think, ponder, to meditate, to absorb these words of the Abedazal that are so precious, that can give a person eternal life, is by one single word of advice. This word, always, be besimcha, because mitzvah gedela liyesh besimcha tavas. It's a very big mitzvah. That means it's the opposite of a big sin. If there's a big sin, there's a big mitzvah to combat it, to counter it, and this a person should remember for life. Now, in this note, we mention the fact that there are tzaddikim of different levels. Benedel says now that there are certain tzaddikim, very famous ones, and in the days of Abenazal, during his time, during the time of Baal Shem HaKadosh, it was that era when you find many sfarim, Sipuri Meisiyos, filled with stories of tzaddikim at that time, the Talmidei HaBaal Shem Tov, Baal Shem Tov himself, his Talmidim. Many of those Talmidim stories are filled there, fascinating stories about the miracles performed by these tzaddikim. They were called Balei Mephis, masters of miracles. Some of those stories make very interesting reading. Of course, the Beit Hazal said that most of those stories were the work of good writers, good story writers, and that's about it. Not many of them are true. But the ability of these Balei Mephis to perform miracles, that is true. except these stories of the Baal Shem Tov, the Eidol said, all those are true. The Eidol says now, what about the Fursomim, his famed tzaddikim Ba'alei Mephis? What about the fact that they could perform such miracles? Could we know something more about them? Not about their power, but how come they did perform miracles and we find other tzaddikim who did not? Now, for one, we don't have to go into detail. We only state very truthfully, factually, unquestionably, that the tzaddikim is the Benazel, above all tzaddikim mentioned. So, how come that we find all these stories about these Baalei Mephis, the many miracles they performed, which proves their greatness, their powers, we find so little about miracles performed by the Benazel? When it comes to miracles, there is very little we find, for instance, what we already know, the sayings of Rabbeinu Zal, but nothing much about stories of his performing miracles, things that are supernatural, as is found in Sfarim about other tzaddikim. Rabbeinu Zal said, fear not. Let me explain this with a mushal. Give you an example of a king, very powerful king and emperor, who had two sons. One son was a chacham, a very wise son. The other son was a shaita, a fool. Not necessarily really a fool, a moron. Not more on, he was less on, but he had, of course, no comparison to the brains of his brother, the chacham. Well, the king gave the shaita, the son that was a fool, king gave him a position as the keeper of the treasures of the king, the king's treasury. Imagine if the emperor had a treasury that could surely rival Fort Knox or the Tower of London, the crown jewels. This emperor's treasury, where he had enough gold to distribute among the entire country, the head of this treasury, the disperser, the one who had the right to disperse payments, was the son, the shaita, the fool. And the chacham, the wisest son, the king gave no important position to. He just kept him close to himself, privately, and without offering him any authority. The people marveled about this. They wondered, position that is so important, perhaps the most important position out, the head of the king's treasury given to the son that was a fool, the wise one, no position at all. What is the king's reason for it? Well, they knew the king himself was extremely clever. King told the people one day, let me explain to you, I know you're wondering about this. The answer is very simple. To sit at the drawers, the bank, and dole out, distribute money, distribute gold, does not take much brains. Any moron could do that too. It takes no brains, no wisdom, just here's the payroll, pay out the money. Therefore, that belongs to bank teller's job, belongs to one who doesn't have much sense. But the chacham, the wise son, is the one that I keep next to me. I need his brains to advise how to go about acquiring these treasures. Trick is to gain these treasures, to get more, how to go about conquering lands and getting the spoils of war, the loot, gaining more and more treasures, reinvesting them, increasing them manyfold. This takes brains, this takes wisdom, and that's what I have my wise son for. This is the mushal of Benazar Gay. The nimshal, of course, is that these Baalei Mephis, these miracle makers, are like the son of a king, but they're not as great, nowhere near as great, as the true tzaddikim, who is much closer to Hashem. And therefore, to them is given these powers of miracles. Where do they get these miracle powers? Where do these Baalei Mephis acquire these miracle powers from? They get it from the tzaddikim. He is the one that gives them, that gets this money for the treasury. He gets these powers through his holiness. He is the trunk of the tree. They are the branch. They are the ones that receive the nourishment from the central Yisoid, the tzaddikim. This tzaddikim is the one that is closest to Hashem, and his work is not performing these miracle powers. That's for the lesser ones. his work is in acquiring this greatness. As Benazar once said, you add up all the miracles performed by these Bali Mlephas, it does not compare to triassamation of a living corpse. A living corpse is one who is a rasha, one who has sinned, one who was bitten by the nachash, one who has fallen into atzvos chas v'shalom, one who is considered dead while he is alive. To take one like this, to inject into him a serum of simcha, to bring him back to life spiritually, that's the greatest miracle of all. That was the work of Rabbeinu Zal, the work of the Tzaddik Emes, in bringing new life to the neshamas that were lost, those who were despondent, who had practically given up hope. This is the work of the Chacham, the one that is close to the king, the Tzaddik Emes, who is the closest to Hashem. We now come to a new series in the sayings of the Rabbeinu Zal, ones that relate directly, and Nosson Zal writes these direct relation to the Likutei Maran. This will give us an insight into the Tedes of the Likutei Maran. Futura is divided into chapters. Each chapter is not called a perek, as in most forum, it's called a teda. This is the name given to these chapters in the Likutei Maran. Teda Aleph, Teda Beis, and so on. Likutei Maran is divided into two sections also. Likutei Maran itself, Likutei Maran Tanina means the second chelik, second division of that sefer, also divided into tedas. Now here, Reb Nosson Zal brings items that are relevant to, pertinent to these tedas, or one who has gone through these tedas. You have additional information here. First one that Nosson Zal writes about Teda Yud, 10th chapter in Likutei Maran. There is something we discussed very recently. Before Purim, you recall we discussed that Teda Reb Nosson speaks about the mitzvah of Rikudin and Amchoas Kaf, dancing and clapping hands. This accomplishes Amtokas Dinim, which means that if there are any harsh decrees coming down from heaven, the person wants to remove those decrees, to nullify them, to sweeten them. This must be done, of course, through tefillah, intense tefillah to Hashem, to remove this decree. Also, Amtoka comes through dancing and clapping hands. Nosson Zal brings, in reference to this statement, this was said, this Teda Yud was said by Rabbeinu Zal just before Purim. At that time, there had been heard about harsh decrees coming from the government. The Russian government at that time was issuing decrees against the Jews, very reminiscent of today's times too. This is before Purim. Rabbeinu Zal said, you need not worry because when Purim comes, the Jews are all going to dance. It's customary to dance and clap hands on Purim, and this will nullify the potential decree by the evil government. Benedo said then, after he said this tale, this is the sequel to it, this is what I said. Those were his words. Nosson Zal explains, this means, I said this, meaning, I mean it. Meaning, and the person reading this, learning this, would say, we heard about the term Amtokas Dinim, but there are Dinim above, there are Chasodim, kindness, Dinim, harshness, Gezeidos, decrees. And we know that the Amtokas Dinim comes through certain Sfidos, Alpi Kabbalah. Kabbalah, we know that the Chasodim overpower the Gevurais, Tiferes, Das, Chachmabina, all these names of the Sfidos which deal with always the merging of these two, which bring about the Amtokas Dinim. Well, it's a very high topic, a very high end, and this, of course, it would seem, relates only to very great tzaddikim who could rise up to the heavens and bring about this merging of the heavens of the various Sfidos, and then this would bring about the Amtokas Dinim, which would affect the decrees in heaven. Menadol said, all that is true. Of course, what was said refers to the secrets of Kabbalah. But this is what I said, meaning I said it for every single Jew. Don't think that you are too small to affect these dinim too. Dancing, clapping hands refers to the sfidus. The hands are chesed and gemura. A dancing the feet are netzach and hoy. The sfidus, true. A great tzaddik handles it in the way of Kabbalah. But every single simple Jew, the simplest of all Jews, by simply obey this mitzvah properly, just simply dance and sing and clap hands, the simplest Jew too can affect the highest degree of the highest of heavens. Any degree of gezeira or something which is issued from heaven due to the fault of the Jews below, their sins below, or because of a kitrug, the complaint of the sotah, the angels above, these two can be sweetened, subdued, nullified, removed by the simplest act. An ordinary Jew, by dancing and clapping hands, with the right kavana, with feeling, can also remove all these decrees. This Rabbeinu will stress then that we should know that we are all included in this, and two, this is a lesson that this Teda, Rabbeinu Zal, said these words by. But this means that every single Teda Rabbeinu Zal said, every lesson that he gave, where he brings items that seem to be very high, very ethereal, very heavenly, they reach the highest of heavens, again, these are not meant, they are not geared only for great tzaddikim. They are meant for every single Jew. Each Jew should read the Teda, and it should refer to himself. No matter how difficult or how complex or how high the topic is, it could be brought down to a level of every single Jew reading it, learning it, and fulfilling it. Nosazal says, now go. Go learn of it in El Sefer. Look into the words, and you know who you will find there? You will find yourself. When it says a Jew should perform a certain mitzvah, a Jew can make a certain correction, this means you. Every single Jew can find himself in a Beis Zal Sefer. As the Beis Zal said, this is what I said to every Jew, from the greatest to the smallest. And no Jew can ever say that I am too big or too great or too learned or too holy for these items. Beis Zal's words reach above the head of the greatest and reach the very bottom of the lowest. Everyone is included, just as the Torah itself is encompassed in the Rabbeinu Zal's words. The entire Teda is found in every Teda of the Rabbeinu Zal's teachings. In Teda Yud Dawad, this Teda was said by the Rabbeinu Zal on Shabbos Chanukah. We just spoke about Purim, becoming at the Chanukah. On this Shabbos Chanukah, the Histalkus of one of the Tzaddikim at that time, the Gedaya Milinitz Zal, and just after his Histalkus, Rabbeinu Zal said then, very difficult to say Teda, to speak words of Teda. Because when a tzaddik is nostalgic, the tzaddik passes away, each tzaddik has a degree of Teda, his old Teda. Remember we learned in the Gemara where it says, Uvesayrasai yege yemavalala, first chapter in Tillum. A person learns the Teda of Hashem. When he learns it, it becomes his old Teda. He acquires it, he becomes the master of it. So the more a person learns, the more Teda he possesses. When a great tzaddik passes away, he had so much Teda that was his. When he is nostalgic, means he rises up to heaven, all his Teda goes along with him. His Teda goes with him. There is then left a shortage of Teda on earth. Therefore, Rabbeinu Zal said at that time, because of his nostalgus, it's difficult to say words of Teda. To illustrate this further, there is a story in the Zayin Kodesh where one of the Rav Shimon Yochai Zal's Talmidim told, after the Histalkus of Shimon Yochai Zal, Rabbi Yehuda told that one day he was resting, his eyelids became heavy, and he fell into a semi-sleep. And then he had a vision. In this vision he saw a special type of angel, a carrier angel, on which was perched riding Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Zal, with a sefer Teda in his arms. This angel was soaring heavenwards, carrying Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Zal on the sefer Teda. And as he went up, as he ascended, he saw that following him were all the sfarim, all the parts of the Teda on earth. The Drush, the Agadita, these secrets, especially the Sisrei Teda, these forms that deal with the heavenly secrets, were all being taken by the Rav Shimon Yochai Zal up to heaven. And he cried out and said, this proves that the world has become an orphan. Only Torah that was revealed until now. Whenever any person had any question, any difficulty at all, about any secret of Torah, they would approach Rav Shimon Yechoizel and he would enlighten them. He would open their eyes through the Chachma of the Zayir HaKadosh. The Zayir, the light, the Chachma Soemes, the wisdom of truth. Now Rav Shimon Yechoizel was nostalgic. With him, they went back to heaven, all these secrets of Torah that he had. Therefore, the world became dark. This is what the Vedazel said here, the case of Naim Aminitzel, that the Estalkus of a Tzaddik brings about to a darkening of the world. It's difficult to learn Torah because all those Chalakim, the parts of Torah that belong to that Tzaddik, went back up to heaven with him, and those below must work, must strive that much harder to acquire the knowledge of Torah afterwards. In that same Torah, there is also brought a statement to the Gemara. The Gemara asks, we have Talmidei Chachamim on earth. Talmidei Chachamim means a learned person, a scholar in Torah. How come that we find many times, not always, but many times, somehow a Talmidei Chachamim, who was very learned himself, doesn't seem to have good children? What kind of his children don't follow his steps? You find many times that the Amaratzim, the Amoritz, has a child, he says to Yeshiva, he becomes a great scholar. But the children of the Chumra do not turn out to be that good. They have a big Yeshiva, and his children generally, of course there are exceptions, there are many Yeshivas whose sons take over after him. But in general, Tvidei HaChumra do not have sons who are also Tvidei HaChumra. What is the reason for it? Or, let us say, even if that is in a minority of cases, why should a certain Talmud Chacham not have good fortune in having children like others do? Why does he have children who are not Tvidei HaChumra? Yomar answers, the reason is, because Shalei Borchu Batayda Tchila. Simply translated to me is they did not say the bracha. You go to the Ali, you have two brachas. The bracha before, Shabbachu Anikolavim. The bracha afterwards. They did not make the bracha over the Torah at first, the first bracha. Therefore, they do not have good children. And of course, this statement is very strange. Which person doesn't make a bracha when he goes to the Torah? Especially when you have a card on the table, you can read the bracha. You have the sitter in front of you. Who would take a leah without saying a bracha first? This naturally has a different connotation. In the Torah, the Kutmanan of Elazar says, the meaning of this is that tchila means the beginning. The beginning of what? The beginning of this child. When a child is born, every parent would like to have nachas. Of course, the child should be brought up, should grow to become wise, clever, and good, and pure, especially religious, serve Hashem properly, respect for its elders. Every person wants that Jewish nachas, religious nachas. But not all succeed. That tchila, that beginning, is the key. The birth of a child is the key to the subsequent raising of the child. And in order to have this birth start right, which begins right, automatically follows that it will follow the right path. In order to begin right, there must be a bracha said in the beginning, a blessing, not a blessing said, but a bracha, a blessing given into a person's actions. These people who give a blessing into their actions, in other words, whose actions and deeds are blessed ones, they will have a child who is perfect, who is good, from its inception, from its birth on. And those Tamidei Chachamim who did not have good children is because they did not bless, they did not do things that were blessed at the tchila, at the beginning of, meaning before the birth of their child. They must conduct themselves in a way that is blessed in order to bring about a pure child. A way that is blessed, of course, means that the relation between the husband and wife should be a pure one, should be a harmonious one. There should be peace and ahava between the two. If there is ever any dickering, any arguing, any battling, this does harm, chas v'shalom, to the seed. Because it comes from the brain, the seed, and if the brain is harmed, poisoned by kas, by anger, by war, by dispute and conflict, then this affects the birth of the child. So these Tamidei Chachamim, as wise as they are, as learned as they are, if they did not bless the beginning of the child with proper conduct, this affects a child, and that's why they do not have sons who are Tamidei Chachamim. This is what the Zohar says in the Kutub Adon. Also, the Zohar says here, he adds, Sikha is about that title, another item of Eidah Zohar, which is not mentioned in the title, this is an addition, another interpretation, or further explanation is, that to bless the beginning, what creates that seed, the zera that brings about a child? It is the food that a person eats. Food that a person consumes, that in turn is turned into everything else in the person's body. It's turned into the bloodstream, it's turned into the seed, it's turned into the cells of the body, and of course some of it is waste. But this food is what determines everything that comes from this person. Even the dreams of a person are affected by the kind of food he eats. As we know, the Bible says in the Kabbalah that the dreams come through angels. There is a malach, or a shed, an evil spirit, that gives a person these dreams, good dreams or bad ones. But this malach that gives a person the dreams, too, is affected by the person's food. The word malach is the same letters as the word ma'achol, food. Ma'achol is also the kedusha that sustains the neshama. And therefore, ma'achol is begimatria omein, or the combination of Yud Kei Vav Kei and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So holy is food. We find that all mitzvahs have in them the kiddush is over food, wine. The Shabbos itself is celebrated with food. Yemen Teva requires Simchas Achag is food. So important in determining the kedusha is food that it plays an important part in the birth of a child too, the creation of a new life. And this food is the techiba, the beginning. What is the beginning of a child? The food that the parent eats. Baruch Hu Mateida Techila. They must bless this food with Teida. How do you bless the food with Teida? What is the food? That is the person's livelihood. In going out to work, a person does not work in order to be able to sustain himself physically. A Jew works in order to make money to do mitzvahs with it, to feed his family, be able to raise his children properly in the ways of Teda, be able to buy items that are holy, mitzvahs, tefillin, tzitzis, esrog, sukkah, matzahs for Pesach, and so on. So all this is, the key is, masel matan, which means going out to business, to labor, to work, to earn a livelihood. And that going out to work is not to be done as the goyim would do it, or animals would do it, but the way a Jew should, the work itself should be one of kedusha. Person has a business, should be done with emuna, which means without having to, without worrying, without concerning himself, without overdoing, without spending too much time in business, have bitochon, emuna, that Hashem is the one that provides a livelihood for a person. Not going out to a job and moonlighting and more jobs and more time taken when the person should have a tochen that Hashem will provide him with a livelihood. The reason that a person finds sometimes difficulty in earning a livelihood is because he lacks that bitochen, not because he doesn't work hard enough. A person could work 10 times as hard and earn 1/10 of one that works very little but has the key to money, the key to panasa. Hashem says it's not your employer, it's not General Motors, it's not AT&T who possesses the money in the world, it's me. It's my money, my silver and gold. I'll give it to you if you put your hands out and receive it. Your hands means the emuna, bitochen Hashem, that's the keli to receive this livelihood with. A person who doesn't have that means that the food he eats was not blessed with Teda, because Teda teaches us Emuna. It wasn't blessed with Teda. The food is not that healthy of food spiritually, and this then affects the birth of the child. In addition, Nosozo says the food itself, too. As far as buying food, a good Jew is very particular about the food he buys. To see that if there's a question of paying a little more or a lot more for food that is definitely kosher, not to buy something about which there is the slightest question. It costs more to buy one that is 100% assured as kosher. You need there have no fear of the expense. Because surely Hashem provides for a livelihood with a food that Hashem will surely provide for a person more if he observes the mitzvah of Shabbos and works less days, and so too if he observes the mitzvah of kashrus and spends more, Hashem will surely give him the necessary amount of money to fulfill the mitzvah. So in buying the food, he must be careful about the type of food that he buys, and it should be perfectly kosher, without a doubt. And then, finally, most important is borcho, the bracha that is said. This bracha refers to the brachas, the birkas hanenen. These brachas hanenen that people take very lightly, they skim over it, they make a mitzi without thought of what they're saying. This birkas hanenen is so vital and so important that the panosa of a person too depends upon this bracha and the upbringing of a child, the birth of a child depends upon it. Person who says the Birkas Hanenu with the proper Kabbalah. Kabbalah means simply, not thinking of the Kabbalah that's involved. What it means is that before you say the bracha, take time out. Give it 5 seconds. Give it 10 seconds. I'm about to make a bracha. This bracha is for bread. Or this bracha is for cake. Or this bracha is for yummy ice cream. Anything. Think of what the bracha is for. Think of what the bracha is, the words of the bracha, and above all, to whom the bracha is being said. That's simple. The words, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam. The Gemara says that a bracha does not contain those words, is not a bracha. Well, does not contain those words means the bracha doesn't have those words in a person's mind, not just on his lips. It's not lip service, but it's mind and heart. So the Baruch Matayna Tchila means a person who says the bracha, these brachas with kavana, this is the key to having good children. That's shat of nosazal is to these words in Tehillim Yudalad. The person should say these brachas with the proper kavana, or be zechad to have nachas, true Jewish nachas from children. We should be zechad to fulfill all these gems of pure Tehillim advice of the Benazal with true emunah and his kashrus. And then that zechus surely will deserve seeing becoming a Mashiach. Amen.